So we are in Psalm 91. And I'm going to be honest, I have misunderstood this psalm for years. Somebody once told me, Psalm 91 is the Christian's 911. And if you read the first verse, he who abides in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. There's a problem with that thinking, though. When do you call 911? What? When you're in trouble. And only when you're in trouble. But look at verse 1. What words does it use?
Dwells, abides.
Dwells, abides. Uses that word twice. He, just a general term for a person, he who abides, he who dwells, later in the chapter, it talks about the dwelling place in your tent, the place where you live. It shouldn't just be, oh, I run into the sanctuary when I'm in trouble. Which is our natural reaction, isn't it? We live our lives our way, doing our thing until things get hard. And then we run to God. But that's not what he's calling us to do. He says, abide in the shelter. Now, that should ring some bells, because just about every psalm we've studied up to this point has mentioned God as a refuge. The shelter of the Most High, God's sovereign name. Have you thought about that? He's in charge of everything that happens, good and, in your opinion, bad. And regardless of what's going on, whether it's the good or the bad, his sovereignty is in charge of all of it. We should be abiding. We should be living. We should be dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. We'll abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Shadow usually means that something is covering you. When you see a shadow on the ground, it's because there's something between the light source, the heat, the difficulty, and that location that's blocking out the heat and the light. He is our shadow. We are in his shadow. And my thoughts go to, if you remember, we studied Psalm 32. Psalm 32, 7, he is our hiding place. Verse 2, I will say, notice the change here. It was he who abides, and now it's I say to Yahweh. There's that covenant-keeping name. I say to Yahweh, here it is, refuge. And my fortress, not just the cave we go hide in to stay out of the storm, but the fortress that we are in when we're being attacked. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is set securely on high. My God in whom I trust. I told Pam on the way in, I feel like they failed here so much. Because we like to talk about God as our refuge and that he's our fortress and we trust him. But do you really? Do I really? Do I live my life Monday through Friday because I know he's my refuge? Because I trust him? This is important because when you get later in the chapter, we get to God's response. and the things that he's doing for us. But remember, who is he talking to? Verse 1, the person who dwells, the person who abides. Now, will we ever abide perfectly in this life? Okay, if you can't answer that, there's a problem. No, we will never abide perfectly. But as I talked to Pam this morning, I'm thinking I can do better at abiding. Why is that? Well, it's because I'm not trusting. It's what verse 2 says, in God and my God in whom I trust. I'm not trusting him enough. Verse 3, for it is he who delivers you. Not your wisdom, not your abilities, not the gifts that God's given you that deliver you. It's he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the destructive pestilence. The psalmist continues to use words that we understand because we understand pestilence, we understand disease, we understand sickness, we understand difficulty. But as in every other psalm that we've studied, we have to remember there's a how this applies to us and ultimately how this references Christ. And as we work through this chapter, you're going to see that this entire chapter ultimately is about Christ. And then under that, it's about our daily lives. Verse 4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will take refuge. In mine that says pinions, in the King James I believe it says feathers. Okay, a pinion is the outermost part of the wing. The feathers on the wingtip. Do you think about that? As the picture of the mother bird, God's wingtip is enough to cover you. And here's our refuge again. Psalm 19:9. The judgments of Yahweh are true. There's that truth from the beginning. His truth is a large shield. I do not conceal your righteousness within my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your salvation. I do not hide your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Psalms 40 verse 10. We should be speaking to people of God's truth, and his truth is the refuge that he provides for us. You know how I've pointed continuously every time we've studied Psalms to the society that we live in and the difficulties in our society. God is our refuge. There isn't one person that will take the White House. There isn't one senator, one representative, one governor, one General Assembly member that can be our refuge. God has to be your refuge. And this is so cool. His truth is a large shield and a bulwark. The King James and ESV says buckler. Well, okay, so what's the difference between buckler and bulwark? And I want you to get the understanding here. It's interesting because the LSB, what I use, says a large shield, which is what a buckler is. Buckler is a shield that's big enough to cover your entire body, so you can stand behind it and nothing can get to you. You know what a bulwark is? It's a mound of earth that you hide behind that a cannonball cannot penetrate. Do you get the picture? The big shield that we can hide behind, and the mound of dirt that protects us from the big missiles. What is that? That is his truth. His truth. Verse 5 and 6. You will not be afraid of terror by night, or of arrows that fly by day, or of pestilence that moves in the darkness, or of destruction that devastates at noon. I don't think you could fill anything else in here that might come up with something that would be outside of this. Darkness. A lot of bad things happen in darkness. Night, bright day, destruction, sickness, pestilence. war. You will not be afraid. Pam and I had a conversation with a gentleman in our neighborhood in the last couple of weeks who would say to us, I'm not afraid of anything when I'm awake. But I wake up at night in terror. You will not be afraid of terrors by night if you abide in the Most High. Verse 7. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read to you Proverbs 3, 23 to 26. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be in dread. When you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant. Do not be afraid of sudden dread, nor of the storm of the wicked when it comes. Not if, when. For Yahweh, there's that covenant name again, will be your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being caught. Goes back to the trapper, right? In Psalm 91. Verse 7 and 8. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Ultimately, this is about Christ. But we can live in this and know that because of Christ and because of us being in Christ, ultimately this is true for us. Verse 8, you will look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Such a fancy word, recompense, right? What does it mean? Well, the King James simplify, interestingly enough, is the King James that makes it simple. The reward. So the word recompense just means reward. So what are we talking about? Well, you have to go to the phrase that follows recompense. The recompense of the righteous is life. The recompense of the wicked is judgment and destruction. So recompense is based off of what comes after. He is our covenant keeper, Most High. He is, his sovereignty is over this. Think about it. Somebody will say to me, well, you know, this all sounds good. He's going to keep us from pestilence. He's going to keep us from destruction. He's going to keep us from sickness. These things will not, people will fall at our side, 10,000 at my right hand, and it's not going to touch me. But what about those that we know at Grace who have already fallen? Have they? I'm just going to name a few just to keep this fresh in your mind. Most recently, John's dad, Lori's dad, Lee, Zach, Brian, Carl, going back through the history of Grace, young men and some older men whose faithful lives, some, especially the younger men, that in our opinion were cut short. But where's the promise here? It's because the promise is not about the physical life. The promise is about, and we get to, I got to jump to the end because it's such an important piece here. Look at the last verse, verse 16. With a long life, I will satisfy him. Verses 14, 15, and 16 is God speaking. With a long life, I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. This is about the spiritual life. Do you think that any one of those men that I just referenced is suffering right now? You will be called when what God has called you to do is finished, and you will not be called before, and you will not linger after. And when your time comes, you will realize God's salvation. We have it now, and there's more coming. Think of it from this perspective, Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14. This is, Pam will tell you, this is one of my favorite verses. See the work of God, verse 13. For who is able to straighten what he has bent? In the day when there is good, be of good cheer. But in the day when there is evil, see, God has made one as well as the other. What does that mean for us? Well, that's a great question. Romans 8:28, everybody's favorite verse, right? And we know that for those who catch it, love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, because those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now catch the movement here. Those who he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified, are ultimately our initial salvation. Those he justified, he also glorified. Past tense. Our glorification is guaranteed. But it's those that love God, right? And we're going to come back to that in a few minutes. Verse 9, for you have made Yahweh, there's that covenant, you have made Yahweh, this isn't a change in tense, folks, my refuge. It's not you and my. It's as if he's saying, you're going to say, my refuge. For you have made Yahweh my refuge, the Most High. There's that sovereign name again. Your dwelling place. He keeps reminding us, you have to dwell. You have to abide. No evil will befall you, and no plague will come near your tent. Tent being dwelling place. Tabernacle. Oh, wait. The same word that used for Christ when it says he came and tabernacled among us. Verse 11. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Does that sound familiar to you? It should. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. The words that Satan used to tempt Christ. And it's interesting that Satan and all of his evil minions, whether that's humans or demons, their favorite thing is to take a verse out of context and twist it. Because what was Christ's response to Satan? Do not test God. So what does that mean? Because it says, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, and lest you strike your foot against the stone. This isn't a, hey, jump off the building so we can see God save you. This is as life goes on and these difficulties and these struggles and the evil things that happen and the little things, the stubbing of the toe, these little things that God has protected you from that you probably don't even have a clue about. It's not the things that you've sought after. It's the unsought things that his angels protect you from. But read the next verse. And this is what Jesus demonstrated. It's what has prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. You will tread upon the fierce lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent will trample down. Have you thought about it from this perspective? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Satan roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, where it says, Satan, the serpent of old, will be thrown into the pit. Our minds, when we read these things, it's not just that physical protection from lions and snakes. Ultimately, it's the the protection that Christ gives us from Satan and all of the things that come with him. Now, I have to go here because in our world right now, and especially some people that claim to be Christians, love to talk about angels and demons and talking to angels and all these things. And I want you to catch this. The passage says, "For he will command his angels concerning you." You notice who talks to the angels, right? Not us. John tried this in Revelation chapter 22, where the angel was called to come and tell him, show him the things that are going on, and he fell to worship the angel. The angel said, "Get up. I am a slave of the Most High, just like you." Ephesians 1. The summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. They are our brothers in a way to Christ. They were given a specific task. Catch this. To guard you in all of your ways. They will bear you up. Now, this whole thing about, I have my guardian angel looking out for me. No, you don't have a guardian angel. God has appointed every one of his angels to look out for every one of his saints. The angels of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him, and they rescue them. Psalm 34. So don't get caught up in the spiritualism of angels and demons. They are servants on earth, no different than we are servants of Christ on earth. The only difference is their task is us. And the knowledge of that should drive us to thanksgiving and praise of God for protecting us in ways that we cannot even imagine. Now we get to 14, 15, and 16. As I said, 14, 15, and 16... are God speaking? It's changed. Now, not really, because God authored all of it, right? But in the writing, it's changed to this is God himself speaking. Because he has loved me. There it is. Remember from Romans 8:28? All things work together for those who love God. Because he has loved me, therefore, I will protect him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. Now, isn't this big picture a picture of Christ? He was humbled by God and then he ascended to the highest place when he rose. He has loved me and I will protect him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. Now get this. And this is for us too. I will be, God saying, I will be with him in his distress. He doesn't promise to take us out of it, folks. He promises to be in it with us. I will rescue him, and I will honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him. So many believers on their deathbed, and I can't speak to all, but I know of the ones that I've been with. There's a peace. And a satisfaction that they are exactly where God wants them in that moment. Whether they've lived long lives or whether they've lived short lives. Because he will show my salvation. Because it's not about this moment. It's not about this moment. To close, I want to read to you from the Valley of Vision. And this is going to be our prayer to close. So if you will, just close your eyes and listen as I read through this. O Lord, whose power is infinite and wisdom infallible, order things that they may neither hinder nor discourage us, nor prove obstacles to the progress of your cause. Stand between us and all strife, that no evil befall, no sin corrupt our gifts, our zeal, our attainments. May we follow duty and not any foolish device of our own. Permit us not to labor at work which you do not bless, that we may serve you without disgrace or debt. Let us dwell in your most secret place under your shadow, where is safe, impenetrable protection from the arrows that fly by day, the pestilence that walks in darkness, the strife of tongues, the malice of ill will, the hurt of unkind talk, the snares of company, the perils of youth, the temptations of middle life, the mournings of old age, the fear of death. We are entirely dependent upon you for support, counsel, and consolation. Uphold us by your free spirit. And may we not think it enough to be preserved from falling, but may we always go forward, always abounding in the work that you've given us to do. Strengthen us by your spirit in our inner life for every purpose of our Christian life. All our jewels we give to the shadow of the safety that is in you. Our name anew in Christ, our body, soul, talents, character, our success, our families, our friends, our work, our present, our future, and our end. Take them. They are yours, and we are yours now and forevermore. Amen.